The gospel lesson this morning is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 and following, and it's the parable of the talents. Jesus said this, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To the one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to their ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid it. After a long time, the master returned and called the servants to settle the accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And then the one who received 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you did not sow and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put the money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received back that with interest. Take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10, for those who have will be given more, and they will all have an abundance. As for those who do not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth." Here ends the reading. May the Lord bless it to our hearts and minds today. This morning I want to talk for a few moments about serving God. We were shaped for serving God and how we serve God, but first I want to get started with something a little humorous. There is a mother I heard about that was cooking breakfast for 2 young boys, Ryan, who was 5, and Kevin, who was 3, and they began to argue who was going to get the first pancake. And the mother saw it as an opportunity to teach the little boys some lessons. So she said, boys, boys, if Jesus were here, he would say, let my brother have the first pancake. Ryan turned to his younger brother and said, all right, Kevin, you be Jesus. Well, sometimes when we think about serving others, it's easy to think about them serving us, right? But Jesus really turns the whole thing upside down in this parable, which sort of brings some conflicting feelings to mind if you're like me. We've been doing this series on the purpose-driven life, and we've looked at worship as power for living, and that we were formed for a family of faith, not just to believe, but to belong. And we looked at how God wants us to become like Christ, that we are forgiven, but we're also called to discipleship, where God slowly through circumstances and His Word and Holy Spirit shapes us into the image of Christ. We'll never attain to that fully, but a long life's journey, why we can be shaped in that way. And this morning we look at serving God. How do we serve God? Albert Schweitzer once said, the only happy people are those who have learned how to serve. And so how do we learn how to serve? This morning I want to look at kind of serving in 3 ways with our gifts and talents. And the first is a general understanding of our gifts and talents. And then how do we discover our gifts and talents? And then how do we use or dedicate our gifts and talents using these scripture lessons from this morning? And so for the first thing, understanding gifts and talents, when we look at this parable this morning, it's important to realize that we all have gifts and talents. Now, a talent at that time was a sum of money. But it's interesting that we use talent as gifts and talents. And the truth is, it's made to symbolize our time, our treasure, and our talents. Those are the 3 T's of stewardship, but all of us have time, all of us have some treasure, and all of us have some talents and gifts that God's given to us. And there's a Danish proverb that says that what you are is God's gift to you. What you do is your gift to God. And that's really true, and you really see that in this parable this morning. And it's so true that ultimately all the gifts are from God. So if you look at this parable, when the steward gives each of these individuals that work for him talents, no matter how many it is, all those talents are really the steward's talents that he's given to them. And only what they earn through using those is a gift back to the master. And that's really part of the truth. And so God gives us all gifts and talents. They're all from God. But what we do with those gifts and talents is a gift back. Now, it's also true when you look at this parable this morning that the giving is not all equal, but we are all equal. And if you're like me, you're a little uncomfortable with that. But when you look around, it's really the truth. And so to one individual was given 5 talents, to another individual, 2 talents, and another individual, 1 talent. And if you're like me, I always felt sorry for the person with 1 talent. Now, the fact of the matter is, a talent was actually a large sum of money. It was, in fact, it's translated in some places, a bag of gold. It's well over $1,000. So none of these individuals was poor. But you still look at that, it's unequal. But the truth is, in life, our gifts and talents aren't equally given, but we're all equal before God. And that's the way the steward really treated all of these 3 individuals equally, in some sense, that they're only judged for the gift that they're given them. And if you look around, we all have different gifts and talents, and some of them are valued more highly by the world. If you're a rock star, you're not viewed the same as a person who's a clerk at the bank. Now, the Lord looks at those people. If you're like me, you probably wanted to sing like Elvis. But the truth is, Elvis has left the building, and you don't want me to sing, all right? So, and you might want to play the piano like Elaine or Alberta. I know I do. But if we spend all our time focused on what other people have and being jealous of their gifts and talents, then we're really not going to appreciate what God has given us. And so the focus is to appreciate the gifts and talents of other people, but don't be jealous about that. That's going to prevent you from doing what you can with the gifts and talents that God has given us. And the truth is, all of us have wonderful gifts and talents. And if you look at the story of Jesus, the incident that happened when Jesus was outside the temple, there was a disciple standing there watching the temple, and along came this very, very wealthy man. And with a lot of fanfare, with a whole sort of group of paparazzi around him, while he gave a large sum of money to the temple, with a lot of pageantry and a lot of pomp and circumstances, and the disciples were wowed by that. They were in awe of that gift. And shortly after that wealthy man gave that large gift, why, there was a widow who came along very unassuming fashion, and she gave a mite. Now, a mite is less than a penny. We don't have any denomination that small today. A mite is less than a penny. And she gave that mite, and Jesus pointed to her and said to the disciples, "Look at that widow and how she has given." The disciples said, "What do you mean? She's given only a small thing, and this rich man gave all this money." And Jesus said, "No. The rich man gave out abundance and a small proportion of that. But the widow gave all that she had. And for such is the kingdom of God." In other words, Jesus took that person and said, she's been given this, but she gave all that she had. And that's a picture of how God judges each one of us. So that's sort of some understanding about giving. And then how do we discover our gifts and talents? Rick Warren uses this acrostic to look at ourselves and our own lives and examine what gifts we have. And the word shape, and use each letter. The S stands for spiritual gifts. All of us have some spiritual gifts. Now, I don't know whether your gift is hospitality or mercy or counseling, whatever it is, but God has given each of us some spiritual gifts, some spiritual in nature. And then the H stands for heart. And that means, what's your passion? What really drives your heart? Are you a person that really cares about people in the hospital or the poor or those overseas? Or are you a person that has a passion for teaching? What's the passion that God has given you? And then the A is abilities. What are your natural abilities? That's different from spiritual gifts. Natural abilities are, I mean, some of us are good in math, some people are good in science, some people are great farmers, some people are great factory workers. All of us have a range of talents. Some of us are people, some of us are task people, but a lot of people aren't all those. So what are your natural abilities that God has given you? And the P is personality, all right? All of us have a personality. Now, some people are more extroverted, some people more introverted, some people like to be out front, some people like to be behind the scenes, but in order for things to happen, all that needs to take place. So what's your personality? And then finally, what are your experiences? what experience you have. That includes our education, our upbringing, our schooling. What are the experiences that you have? And it's not just the good experiences that God uses. God uses the difficult challenges and adversities and what seem to be bad experiences to us. Often God uses those the most. I have a friend, and she lost her husband at a very, very early age. She was in her early 20s. She had two small children. She lost her husband, and she was deeply grieved by that. And it really was a trauma for her to overcome for a long time. But gradually, God made that into a ministry for her. And now, she's along in life. But when there's a tragedy, she goes and she talks to people. She wrote a book on overcoming grief and going through that and how to help others. And so if there's a trauma in a school, she goes and talks to the kids. And she goes to individuals where there's some traumatic accidents happening. God has used that for a ministry in her life. Now, if you were to ask her, would she ever want to go through that experience of losing her husband at an early age? I'm sure she'd say no. But you and I don't always have a choice about that. But we do have a choice about what we do with those experiences. And if we're open in our lives to God, then we have the opportunity to use even those painful experiences as ministries to others. I mean, how many folks that look at a case maybe have gone through an addiction problem? And the person that can talk to them most insightfully is the person who's battled addiction himself, and the same with alcoholism. There's lots of other kinds of things. Often, our ministry is that which has touched us deepest and hardest. And you think about the way that helps us also overcome and make sense of the things that happen to us. It's interesting, isn't it, that the inoculation that we receive for a vaccine is a weakened form or a dead form of the virus that causes it. And the cure for a snake bite is a weakened form of the venom from the snake. And so in the same way, God uses the experiences in our hearts and life. Paul shared in Corinthians in one of the passages, he said, we are struck in certain ways that God comforts us in our distress so that we also might comfort those who are afflicted. So God uses those ministries and experiences. So what is your shape? What is your, what's your spiritual gifts? What's your heart or passion? What's your abilities and what's your personalities and experiences of your life? And that's the shape that God has given us in our life, and how we use that shape is our gift back to God. Now, some of us spend all of our time focusing on our weaknesses. There's a wonderful author out there by the name of Marcus Buckingham, and for a long time he worked for Gallup Survey, and so over in England. And one day he came up with a question. I guess they were just talking, sort of debating about do people use their worry about their weaknesses more or play to their strengths more. And so if you work for Gallup, you have a great thing. The next morning, after you've had this conversation with someone, you can get on the phones and order people to go and start calling and taking surveys. And he did exactly that. And he found this out, that 41% of the people tend to manage weaknesses more than play to their strengths. Now think about that. The fact of the matter is, we're born the way we are. And not that we shouldn't try to, you know, work on our weaknesses some. But the fact of the matter is, we ought to play to our strengths, and that's the way that God has made us, has designed us. And so, how do we use the strengths that we have together as a body of Christ? And that really makes us who we are. Listen again to what Paul says in his passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone is the same God at work. And to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, and to another the message of knowledge, still another the gift of faith, other gifts of healing, and to other miraculous powers of prophecy, and he goes on, tongues, interpretations. There's a whole list of gifts. But he uses the image of a body. And just as a body has many parts and have to work together to function well, so we as a church need to work together and use our gifts and talents, and all of us have gifts and talents. And so that brings us to the final thing, which is to dedicate our gifts and talents and to use those on behalf of God in the church today. And here's a truth that I think you see in this parable, which is simply this. Use it or lose it, and dedicate it, and it will grow. Use it or lose it, dedicated, and it will grow. And that's really true in, if you think about exercise for a moment. If you exercise a lot, then you sort of grow in exercising and physical fitness. But if you stop doing that, what happens to your body? Most of us know if we go out and try to run for the first time after winter, right? It's amazing how fast you lose the aerobic power and your strength. So as we use those muscles, why they gain strength? If we don't use them, why they atrophy? And it's the same true with our spiritual body, and together as a church body. Then Jesus puts that into focus in a stark fashion in this parable. And in some ways, it makes, if you're like me, it makes me a little uncomfortable, because if you look at this individual that's got five talents, you think, well, that's not me, a person with five talents, and puts it to work and he makes five more. And the master says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, you will receive more. And then a person with two talents comes to the master and says, you gave me two and I earned two more. And again, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then your heart kind of goes out, if you're like me, to this person with one talent. But you have to remember that one talent was worth a lot of money. But I think maybe the way that Jesus said it this way is to say, listen, you might not think that you have a lot, but it's no excuse not to use it. In fact, what I've done is given all of you some great gifts and talents, and you can't make the excuse that someone has more talent in some area than you. All of us are judged by the gifts and talents that we're given. And so Jesus has a stern word of judgment for this individual. And so the question to all of us do we have as many gifts and talents as someone else? There's always someone more talented in some area. But the important truth is all of us have gifts and talents that God has given us. All of us have spiritual gifts. All of us have a heart and passion. All of us have natural abilities. All of us have a personality that can be used for God. And all of us have experiences, good and bad, that God can use if we'll just dedicate them to God. So today, what is our time? What is our treasure? What are our talents that we're dedicating to God? Jesus' indication is this is an important part of our spiritual life. And it was just shortly after Palm Sunday, when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, that he sat down with his disciples and gave them some very, very important teaching. This was one of the things that he was teaching the disciples, because it's so important. Because if God's ministry in the world is to happen, it's to us. God has no feet but our feet here on the world. God has no hands but our hands to reach out. God has wants us to use our heart to reach out and care and to show other people's love. And so as Jesus was headed towards the cross, knowing that shortly he would be going to the Father, he was commissioning his disciples, saying, your gifts and talents are so important, and they may not seem the same as Jesus, but together we are the body of Christ. And together we can minister in our world, and we can make Christ's love shine out. I want to close with this little thought by Rip Warren about having excuses. He says this. I said, if you're not involved in the service ministry, what excuse have you been using? Abraham was old. Jacob was insecure. Leah was unattractive. Joseph was abused. Moses stuttered. Gideon was poor. Samson was codependent. Rahab was immoral. David had an affair and all kinds of family problems. Elijah was suicidal. Jeremiah was depressed. Jonah was reluctant. Naomi was a widow. John the Baptist was eccentric, to say the least. Peter was impulsive and hot-tempered. Martha worried a lot. The Samaritan woman had several failed marriages. Zacchaeus was unpopular. Thomas had doubts. Paul had poor health. Timothy was timid. And that's quite a variety of misfits. But God used each of them in his service. And he will use you too, if we stop making excuses. How true that is. Those truths are so important to us. What are we going to do with our gifts and talents? As we think about Palm Sunday, the most important thing is this is the week we remember that Jesus began his journey to the cross. And the most important thing to realize is that what we do is not to earn God's love, but in return for God's love. God loves us just the same. But Jesus wants us to know that our gifts and talents that he has given us are important ways to minister to others in his name. Our salvation is only through Jesus Christ. And I want to close with this reading by Max Lucado about the gifts that God has given each of us. Ever feel like you have nothing? Just look at the gifts that God has given you. He says angels to care for you, his Holy Spirit to dwell in you, his church to encourage you, and his word to guide you. Anytime you speak, he listens. Make a request and he responds. He will never let you be tempted too much or stumble too far. Let a tear appear on your cheek, and he's there to wipe it. Let a love sonnet appear on your lips, and he's there to hear it. As much as you want to see him, he wants to see you more. You have been chosen by Christ, and he has claimed you as his beloved. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we're thankful for this day. And we remember the day that you journeyed to Jerusalem to give your life on the cross. Remember the men and women and children that laid down palms as you entered Jerusalem in their triumph of cries. We knew that shortly after that, that all would abandon you, but still you would give your life on the cross that we could know salvation and new life. We accept that with faith in you, but we also realize we have the responsibility to give back the gifts and talents you've given us in service for you. Help us to dedicate our lives to the Holy Spirit and use the gifts and talents you've given us, the time, treasure, and talents, in ways that honor you and reflect your love and show others your love through your power and to your glory. Amen.